Hare Krishna. So this morning we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter number 3, entitled Lord Chaitanya at the House of Advaita Acharya. And today we're reading from text number 162. But there's some verses before that, so I'll just read those verses in English, and then we'll recite 162 together. So this is Lord Chaitanya at the house of Advaita Acharya. Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, Nityananda Prabhu had misdirected him to Shantipur, and all of the Navadvip residents were in ecstasy, so happy to see their dear Nimai, who had now taken sannyas. So they came together at the house of Advaita Acharya. Sachidevi was cooking for Mahaprabhu, and they were having amazing kirtans every single night for 10 nights, I think it was. And now we're hearing of the incredible emotions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing in those kirtans. The entire body of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to totter due to the onslaught of various ecstatic symptoms. As a result, he immediately fell to the ground and his breathing almost stopped. Upon seeing the condition of the Lord, all the devotees became very anxious. Then, suddenly, the Lord got up and began to make thundering sounds. Upon standing up, the Lord said, "Go on speaking, go on speaking." Thus, he began to dance, overwhelmed with pleasure. No one could understand the strong waves of this ecstasy. Lord Nityananda began to walk with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see that he would not fall, and Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur followed them, dancing. In this way, the Lord danced for at least 3 hours. Sometimes the symptoms of ecstasy were visible, including pleasure, moroseness, and many other waves of ecstatic emotional love. The Lord had been fasting for 3 days, and after that period, he took eatables sumptuously. Thus, when he danced and jumped high, he became a little fatigued. Being fully absorbed in love of Godhead, he would not understand his fatigue. But Nityananda Prabhu, catching him, stopped his dancing. Although the Lord was fatigued, Nityananda Prabhu kept him steady by holding him. At that time, Advaita Acharya suspended the chanting and, by rendering various services to the Lord, made him lie down to take rest. For 10 continuous days, Advaita Acharya held feasting and chanting in the evening. He served the Lord this way without any change. In the morning, Chandrasekhar seated Sachimata in a palanquin and brought her from her house with many devotees. In this way, all the people of the town, Nadia, including all the women, boys, and old men, came there. Thus, the crowd increased. In the morning, after regular duties were completed and the Lord was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the people accompanied Sachimata to the house of Advaita Acharya. As soon as Mother Sachi appeared on the scene, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell before her like a stick. Mother Sachi began to cry, taking the Lord on her lap. Upon seeing each other, they both became overwhelmed. Seeing the Lord's head without hair, Mother Sachi became greatly agitated. Out of love, she began to caress the body of the Lord. Sometimes she kissed his face and tried to observe him carefully, but because her eyes were filled with tears, she could not see. Understanding that Lord Chaitanya had accepted the renounced order of life, Sachimata, crying, said to the Lord, "My darling Nimai, don't be cruel like Vishwarup, your elder brother." Mother Sachi continued, "After accepting the renounced order, Vishwarup never again gave me audience. If you do like him, that will certainly be death for me." The Lord replied, "My dear mother, please hear. This body belongs to you. I do not possess anything. This body was raised by you and it comes from you. I cannot repay this debt even in millions of births. Knowingly or unknowingly, I have accepted this renounced order. Still, I shall never be indifferent to you. My dear mother, wherever you ask me to stay, I shall stay. And whatever you order, I shall execute." Saying this, the Lord offered obeisances to his mother again and again, and Mother Sachi, being pleased, took him again and again on her lap. Then Advaita Acharya took Mother Sachi within his house. The Lord was immediately ready to meet all the devotees. The Lord met all the devotees one after another. And looking at everyone's face individually, he embraced them tightly. Although the devotees were unhappy at not seeing the Lord's hair, they nonetheless derived great happiness from seeing his beauty. Srivas, Ramai, Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar, Gangadas, Vakreshwar, Murari, Suklambar, Budhimanta Khan, Nandan, Sridhar, Vijay, Vasudev, Damodar, Mukunda, Sanjaya, and all others, however many I can mention. Indeed, all the inhabitants of Navadvip arrived there, and the Lord met them with smiles and glances of mercy. Everyone was dancing and chanting the holy names of Hari. In this way, in the domicile of Advaita Acharya was converted into Sri Vaikuntha Puri. People came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from various other villages nearby, as well as Navadvip. To everyone who came to see the Lord from villages nearby, especially from Navadvip, Advaita Acharya gave residential quarters, as well as all kinds of eatables for many days. Indeed, he properly adjusted everything. The supplies of Advaita Acharya were inexhaustible and indestructible. As many goods and commodities as he used, just as many again appeared. From the day Sachimata arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya, she took charge of the cooking, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dined in the company of all the devotees. All the people who came there during the day saw Lord Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu and the friendly behavior of Advaita Acharya. At night, they had the opportunity to see the Lord's dancing and hear his chanting. So now we read number text 162. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. When the Lord performed kirtan, he manifested all kinds of transcendental symptoms. He appeared stunned and trembling. His hair stood on end, and his voice faltered. There were tears and devastation. Purport. Devastation is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a combination of happiness and distress that becomes conspicuous by an absence by any sense of them. In this condition, a devotee falls to the ground and the subsequent symptoms in the body ensue. These symptoms are mentioned above, and when they become prominent in the body, a state called pralaya, devastation, is manifest. Srila Prabhupada ki. So with the permission of the Vaishnavas and your blessings and good wishes, I'll try to share something on this incredible passage describing the ecstatic symptoms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakti is the process of spiritual emotion. Emotion finds its fullest and most perfect manifestation when it's directed towards the Supreme Lord. And therefore we find in the life and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an emotional intensity that's not found anywhere else. I don't know if you have this experience, but when I was young, I used to go to many different temples, different places of worship. And really, when I came to the manor, something stood out more than any other temple I'd been to. Of course, the prasadam was very good. But the other thing that really stood out when I came to the manor was the emotional expression of devotion that you found here. Singing from the heart, dancing. I mean, a temple was the last place, I think, I thought you would find dancing. I remember coming here when I was 10 years old. That's like 30 years ago. And I remember being right where Ian is sitting. And I was a 10-year-old kid, and the devotees had made a circle. There was a kirtan going on, and the devotees had made a circle. And then you know how it is when they do a circle, like everyone comes into the middle and does their thing, you know? So like, so two devotees were spinning, and then another guy did a cartwheel, and then someone did like a backflip. And I was just like, oh my God, like, is this a temple? Like, it was just like incredible. Like, I never thought, like, dancing. Like, religion means it's serious, it's sober, it's subdued, it's like, you know. But then when I came here, I realized actually singing and dancing for God, why not? Because singing and dancing are the two probably most powerful emotional expressions in the world. And therefore, if they're the most powerful emotional expressions in the world, why not for God? Of course. The best singing, the greatest dancing is dancing in consciousness of God. So here we find the emotional intensity of Lord Chaitanya in his dancing. The dancing was getting so intense. I mean, we all have that experience to some extent. I mean, on Gaur Purnima once here, I had an intense emotional experience in the kirtan because we were spinning and a devotee, while we were spinning, let me go. And I went from where I am now to that window there and got a dislocated shoulder. That was Gaur Purnima in Watford General. It was, there were many emotions. I don't know how spiritual the emotions were, but it was intense. So here, Mahaprabhu is like, it's like an emotional outpouring. Shtamba, he became stunned. Kampa, he was trembling. Pulaka, his hairs were standing on end. Ashru, tears were falling. Gadgada, the voice was faltering. And finally, devastation. Did you ever think spiritual life was about becoming devastated? Mahaprabhu is showing what is the apex of spiritual realization, to actually become devastated in a transcendental consciousness. So Mahaprabhu came to make the whole world dance. He said that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chari bhava bhakti diya nachamu bhavan. Mahaprabhu came to give bhakti in different mellows, and ultimately Mahaprabhu came to make the whole world dance. There you can put it right out there. That's the best PR line. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, make the whole world dance. And Kaviraj Goswami explains it beautiful in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's why you can understand Krishna Das got the name Kaviraj. Kaviraj means the greatest of poets. After Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Govinda Lilamrit, which was such a beautiful composition, he was given this title, Kaviraj. He said, your writing, your explanation, your poetry is unparalleled. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami writes, Krishnere na chaya prem, bhaktere na chai, appane na chaya tina, nache ekatai. When prema manifests, Krishnere nachaya, Krishna dances. But not only Krishna dances, Bhaktere nachaya, the devotee dances. But not just the devotee dances, Appane nachaya, prema itself dances. Nache ekatai, all three dance together. Have you ever thought? Even prema dances. Krishna dances, the devotees dance, prema dances. Everything dances because Nachamu Bhuvan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to make the whole world dance. And so this really is our movement. The famous German philosopher who was starkly atheist and made the audacious statement, God is dead, Friedrich Nietzsche, also made another statement. He said, God is dead, but he also said, I will only believe in a God who knows how to dance. Which is quite interesting. Because for him, God meant, you know, the big judge, the person throwing thunderbolts, the one who makes all the rules and regulations, the really serious and heavy character. What he didn't realize is that God is Gaura Nataraj. He's the greatest of dancers. Krishna is Natavar. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing and expressing this emotional outpouring. And people couldn't understand it. People really couldn't understand it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. Varanasi is the place of the impersonalists. So for the impersonalists, it's serious. It's about study. It's about sacrifice. When they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, Prakashananda Saraswati just couldn't take it. Murka sanyasi nija dharma nahi jani. Bhavuka feya hoya bhavukera sane. He says, murka sanyasi nija dharma nahi jani. You're a reject sanyasi. Don't you know proper dharma? Don't you know religion? Don't you know Vedanta? Bhavuka hoya fere. You're walking around like a sentimentalist. Bhavukera sane, and you're surrounded by sentimentalists. So he uses this word, bhavuka. He says, Chaitanya, you're just a bhavuka, a sentimentalist. Just dancing, singing, falling down. What is all these emotions? Of course, Prakashananda didn't realize he used this word, bhavuka, sentimentalist. But what he doesn't realize is that bhavuka also means something else. Because in the Bhagavatam, what do we find? Bibata bhagavatam rasamalayam mahoraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. What does the Bhagavatam say? That these mellows, these incredible deep mellows of the Bhagavatam can only be understood by expert and thoughtful men who are connoisseurs of devotion. So a bhavuka for Prakashananda meant a sentimentalist. But what he didn't realize is that a bhavuka is actually a highly elevated person who's refined in their spiritual emotions. And that was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu just got criticized by Prakashananda. Murka sannyasi, you're a fool. You're a reject sannyasi. You're a murk. Mahaprabhu looked at him and said, it's funny you should call me a murka, a fool, a reject, because my spiritual master also called me a fool. Murka tumi tomar nahik vedanta adhikar, Krishna mantra japa sada ei mantra shar. Mahaprabhu went to Ishwarapuri and Mahaprabhu got called a fool by Ishwarapuri as well. Murka tumi, you're a fool. Tomar nahik Vedanta adhikar, you have no qualification to study Vedanta whatsoever. Krishna mantra japa sada, ei mantra sar, just chant Krishna's names. This is everything. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. So Mahaprabhu got called a fool two times. He got called a fool by Prakashananda because he said, you're just sentimental. You're not studying Vedanta. And Mahaprabhu also got called a fool by Ishwarapuri. He said, why are you trying to study Vedanta? Just chant Krishna's names. Krishna mantra hoite pabe Krishna racharan. Krishna mantra hoite pabe samsara mochan. Just chant Krishna's names. And then you'll get release from the cycle of birth and death. Just chant Krishna's names and you'll do a beeline towards Krishna's lotus feet. So he got that instruction, and Ishwarapuri told him, actually, what is the perfection of spiritual life? Eta boli eka shloka sikaile mora bhagavater sara e bolivar var. Ishwarapuri approached Mahaprabhu and he said, Eta boli, he said, eka shloka, let me teach you one verse. Bhagavater sar e bole var var. I'm going to teach you one verse, and this verse is the essence of Bhagavatam. Now this is fascinating. Ishwarapuri goes to Mahaprabhu and says, Eka shloke shikaile mora. Let me teach you one verse. This one verse, Bhagavater sar, is the essence of Bhagavatam. So now you think, if someone would ask you, which verse is the essence of Bhagavatam? What would you quote? Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam? Maybe? No. Save Pumsham Paro Dharmo? The supreme occupation is devotional service. That verse? No. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya? the final verse of Bhagavatam, that one should engage in chanting of the holy name? No. Which verse did Ishwarapuri tell Mahaprabhu is the Bhagavatir Sar, the essence of Bhagavatam? He quoted a verse from the 11th canto spoken by the Navayogendras to Nimi. And the verse is, the verse which Ishwarapuri said is the essence of Bhagavatam. Evam vrata sva priya nama kirtya jata anurago drita chitta uche hasatya tiro ditiro ti gayati unmadavan rityati loka bayaha. This is the verse. This is the verse that Ishwarapuri said is the essence of Bhagavatam. What is the verse? Evam vrata sva priya nama kirtya. If you take up with a strong vow the chanting of the holy names, jata anurago drita chitta uche, jata anuraga, you will develop a deep emotional attachment for God. And what will happen? Hasat yati ro diti ro ti gayati. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll dance like a madman, unmadava nityati loka bayaha, and you'll be completely indifferent to public opinion. Basically, you'll become crazy. You'll become completely mad. You'll become so emotionally overwhelmed that you won't even be able to understand what is going on around you. Ishwarapuri Pad said to Mahaprabhu, this is the essence of Bhagavatam. The essence of Bhagavatam is to become mad, to become completely devastated in complete pure love of Godhead. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. Mission statement in life, become mad. Become completely mad. This is actually bhakti. Of course, for us to become completely mad in pure love of Godhead, that's still some distance to go. But in our journey in spiritual life, we actually have to start developing spiritual emotion. Bhakti bhav, the emotions of bhakti. This process is not just a dry process. It's not just a ritualistic process. It's not just a process which is about rules and regulations. It's not just even a process about knowledge. All of these things culminate in the spiritual emotions that we experience in our relationship with Krishna. And therefore, if one is not developing this bhakti bhav, these emotions for Krishna, then actually we can understand that we're not actually advancing in spiritual life. Because it's not just what you know in spiritual life, it's what you're feeling. So we must feel our emotional connection with Krishna. Because that's the most perfect emotional expression. Only when we direct our emotions towards Krishna do we feel the complete reciprocation and the perfection of those emotions, that emotional state. When we direct our emotion towards the things and people of this world, ultimately we'll be frustrated. If you go to Vrindavan today, there's a beautiful temple, Banke Bihari. Many of you must have been. So Banke Bihari, the deity, was founded or discovered by someone called Swami Haridas. He was in the Nimbarka Sampradaya. So Swami Haridas, he was known as an amazing singer. Like when he sang, it was like incredible. And he had a student. His student's name was Tanzen. So Tanzen was the court singer for King Akbar. Akbar was the Muslim occupational government of that time, but he also had sentiments in Vaishnavism. He loved the devotees and he actually loved Vrindavan. So Tanzen, as the student of Haridas, was also an amazing singer. So one day Tanzen was singing and Akbar came to him and said, "Your singing is amazing. I can't imagine there's anyone in the world who can match your singing. Your singing is so sweet. It's so heart-touching. It churns our emotions to no end." Tanzen looked at him and he said, "You haven't met my guru. You haven't met Swami Haridas. You have not heard Swami Haridas sing. If you hear him sing, you will not be able to even maintain your life. So Akbar said, really? I want to go and hear him sing. He said, Swami Haridas will never sing for a king. But I need to hear him. I need to hear that vibration from the mouth of such a Vaishnav. So Tan Sen said, okay, let's go to Vrindavan. Let's see what happens. So they went to Vrindavan. They approached the temple. And there, Haridas, in front of his Banke Bihari, who he held within the core of his heart with such love and devotion, was singing for Banke Bihari. As they approached, Tan Sen and Akbar stopped. They heard the singing. They heard the singing of Swami Haridas. It was like nothing that they had ever heard before. Akbar realized immediately, oh my God, Tan Sen was right. This singing is from another world. Akbar looked at Tan Sen and he said, how is it? I thought there could never be a singer like you. But this Haridas, the way he sings for Banke Bihari, I've never heard anything like this in my life. And then Tan Sen looked at Akbar and he said, me and my guru, there's one difference. I sing for a king, but he sings for Krishna. And therefore, his singing is incomparable. Because the ultimate emotional expression, only when it comes in contact with Krishna, can it actually reach its apex or its final point. So our process is that we're trying to develop these emotions for Krishna. We sing in the morning, what is that? Shri Radha Govinda Preme Sada Yena Basi. I want swimming in the ocean of love for Radha and Govinda. Who here is swimming in the ocean of love for Radha and Govinda? More like a few puddles here and there that sometimes get dried up by the sun of material desire. Who is swimming in an ocean of love for Sri Radha Govinda? But that is our goal. That is what we're trying to experience. So Mahaprabhu came to give us a process of experiencing spiritual emotions. The first thing Mahaprabhu did is he displayed what those spiritual emotions were. Then his disciples, the Goswamis, documented how to experience those spiritual emotions. And then the next generation of devotees, the Acharyas, Shyamananda, Naratam, Srinivas, they distributed. So this was Mahaprabhu's master plan. Mahaprabhu displayed. His disciples documented. And then their disciples distributed. And made it available for everyone to experience these emotions of love for Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami writes, how do you awaken that bhava? How do you awaken those devotions? Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana bida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam riddhi sadhyata. You have to do sadhana. Bhava sa sadhana bida. The emotions of love of Godhead will arise when one does sadhana with discipline, determination, devotion, and ultimately desperation. So, one extreme in spiritual life is we try to force the emotions to come about. We try to force an experience. We can't force spiritual emotions to come about. Gokishodas Babaji gave the example that a barren woman cannot simply imitate labor pains and have a baby. It will not work. Similarly, someone cannot just imitate spiritual emotions and expect prema to arise. Oh, Krishna! Well, you know, Lokanath Maharaj says in India there used to be some kirtan parties where the kirtan leaders would put two chilies up their nostrils. So then the tears would come. Oh, Krishna! No, Gaurikishoredas Babaji says you cannot force spiritual emotions. It won't work. At the same time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you cannot ignore to try and develop spiritual emotion, because if you're chanting but you have no emotion, he says it's like firing blanks from a shotgun. If you practice your sadhana but you're not bringing emotion into it, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it's like firing blanks from a shotgun. You're simply making a lot of noise, but there's no impact. There'll be no impact on Krishna's heart because there's no emotion within it. So on one hand, one acharya is saying, don't force the spiritual emotion. And another acharya is saying, don't ignore spiritual emotion, because if you don't bring spiritual emotion into your practice, then factually that practice and its power to connect you to Krishna will be severely limited. So what is the resolution? How do we do it? Therefore, I love this statement that Satsarup Maharaj says, which for me sums it up. He says, if you cannot cry for Krishna. How many of us can cry for Krishna? Can we go and say, Krishna, I'm crying for you because I want you. I want nothing of this world. He said, if you cannot cry for Krishna from your heart, then cry that you cannot cry for Krishna. And in that way, what you're doing is you're not forcing spiritual emotion, you're not imitating a crying, and at the same time, you're not just doing things mechanically because you're bringing emotion into your spiritual practice. And that's basically what we have to do. So we have to learn the art of how to cry in desperation for Krishna. And if we can't cry for Krishna, then we cry that we cannot cry for Krishna. Gogavinda Maharaj used to say, we're not opening temples. No. We're not opening temples. We are opening crying houses. We're opening establishments where people can come and learn the art of how to cry for Krishna. Because if you don't cry for Krishna, you will definitely, for sure, without doubt, without a shadow of doubt, you will cry for Maya. If you don't cry for Krishna, you'll cry for Maya. There's only two options here. So if we don't redirect our emotions towards Krishna, then ultimately we will be lost in the emotional whirlpool of the material world and ultimately remain dissatisfied. So our process is, yes, to somehow or other bring in that spiritual emotion. So now, the problem is, we will never be able to develop spiritual emotion if we first don't deal with our material emotions. Our basic problem is that we're so lost in our material emotions that we're not able to spiritually connect with Krishna. At every moment, we're undergoing so many material emotions. Like, for example, someone looks at you funny. So the emotions of insecurity cause devastation in our mind. Hare Krishna. Or someone else in the community of Vaishnavas is doing better than me. The material emotion of envy causes devastation in my mind. Krishna makes some arrangement in my life that didn't go according to my plan. The emotions of frustration overcome us so much that we become devastated. So factually, we'll never experience the spiritual devastation that Mahaprabhu is experiencing, because at every moment we're riddled with material devastation because our emotions are just overcoming us. The Bhagavatam says in the first chapter of the first canto, the qualities of people in Kali Yuga. You know this verse. Prayenal paishah sabya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. If you read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives an amazing insight. Because normally we think all of these qualities are all of the qualities we have in Kali Yuga. The bad qualities, we're lazy, we're misguided, we're unfortunate, we have a short life. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts it in a sequence. So what he says is that for people in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to practice spiritual life because first obstacle, Alpa Ayusha, they don't have time. Anyone have that problem? I don't have enough time for Krishna consciousness. Then he says, Manda. But if someone doesn't have that problem, they make time. They make time for spiritual life. Number two obstacle, Manda, they're lazy. So even when they have time, they waste it. But then he says, sometimes you find people who have time and they're not lazy. They're ready. Third obstacle, Manda Sumanda Matayo, Sumanda Mati. They're unintelligent. So even though they have time, even though they're not lazy and they're desirous, they don't have the intelligence to grasp. But then he says, sometimes you can have time, you can be desirous, not lazy. Your intelligence may not be there, but what you can do is approach devotees and approach people who are intelligent. But then he says, number four problem, Manda Bhagya, we're unfortunate because we don't have good association. So we're tricked. We don't approach the right person for spiritual help. So then we can't advance. And then he gives the final nail in the coffin. No problem. Spiritual emotion. These are crying houses after all, isn't it? We said. So he says, and this is basically all of us. Kali Yuga difficult, no time. Everyone here has made time. Kali Yuga difficult, lazy. But all of you are sitting here, not lazy, trying to hear. Kali Yuga difficult, unintelligent. But no, Sumedha Shah, you're intelligent because you're chanting. But then Kali Yuga difficult because you get misguided by others. All of you are not misguided, you're guided by Prabhupada. So great, everything's fine. Then we've come over all the obstacles of Kali Yuga. Then he gives the final nail in the coffin. Because the final problem is, even if you have all of those, ticked all of those boxes, the final problem is Upadruta, you're always disturbed. So factually, everyone in this room, myself included as the speaker, we're basically disturbed. There's so many emotions going through our mind that we're not able to focus. When we sit down to chant, we're disturbed. When we read the Bhagavatam, we're disturbed. When we're in class, we're disturbed because we're clouded by so many material emotions. That means we can't focus, and because we can't focus, we can't access spiritual emotion. So we talk so much about the material, the spiritual emotions of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is what we're supposed to achieve. But unless and until we learn to control our material emotions, we will never experience spiritual emotion. And my God, how to control material emotions? That's a class for another day. I mean, that's like a big topic, you know? We're drowning in so many material emotions of anger, envy, pride, lust. In short, the only way to overcome it is we need strong intelligence, strong association, and strong sadhana. Only by these three things can we overcome our material emotions. And only when we overcome our material emotions can we actually experience spiritual emotions, which is what this movement is meant for. So Prabhupada didn't come here to help us to believe in Krishna. To believe in Krishna is actually a very elementary thing. The real thing is, this process is meant to empower us to perceive Krishna's presence at every moment in our life and have that emotional exchange with Krishna. But until and unless we deal with our material difficulties, we won't access that. So that is our hope and our prayer, that we can begin to experience these things. Because Bhagavatam says, Tadasmasaram Ridayam Batedam Yadgriyamaner Harinamadeyai Navikriyeta Tayadavikaro Netre Jalam Gatra Ruheshu Harsha. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it's explained, Yadgriyamaner Harinamadeyai, if one is hearing the holy name, if one is hearing the holy name, all of us here are hearing the holy name. Bhagavatam says, Hari Nama Dhyayai, if you're hearing the holy name, but na vikriyeta, there's no transformation in your heart. Na vikriyeta tadayad vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. If you're hearing the holy name, but there's no transformation in your heart, there's no crying, there's no hairs standing on end, there's no shivering, then there's only one conclusion. Tadasmasaram ridayambate. You have a heart which is steel framed. And why has it become steel framed? Because of so many aparads. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Aparada guchi, sudanama ruchi, kripa bale habe ridoye sanchar, kabe habe bolo, sei dinamal. He looks at Krishna and he says, when will that day be mine that my offenses cease and I get one drop of taste for the holy name of Krishna and I become infused with spiritual emotion by the divine grace of Radha and Krishna? So we're seeking to experience that spiritual emotion. And it has to be done in the appropriate way. It's not cheap. Spiritual emotion is not cheap. Because bhava or spiritual emotion has an external dimension and it has an internal dimension as well. The external dimension of bhava is that, yes, someone may say, I saw the deities and I cried. Someone may say, I was in a kirtan. Radhadesh mellows. I was in a kirtan and my hairs did stand on end. I read a passage of Bhagavatam and shivers were going through me. Maybe it's coming. But let me tell you, or not let me tell you, Rupa Goswami tells us that there is also an internal dimension of bhava. What's the internal dimension of bhava? Kshantira vyarthakalatvam viraktir mana shunyata ashabanda samutkantha namagane sadaruchi ashaktistad guna khyane pritistad vasati stale ityadayo nubhavasyor bhava jata kurei jane. Someone may say, I'm crying, I'm shivering, I'm doing so many things, but now ask yourself, do you have also the internal dimension of bhava? What's the internal dimension of bhava? Kshantir, that a devotee has an incredible level of forgiveness. Who in this room is able to forgive even the bitterest enemy? Then you're in bhava. Because someone in bhava is so absorbed in the spiritual reality that the petty things of this world don't even matter. Kshantir avyarthakalatvam. What's another dimension of bhava? That one doesn't even want to waste one moment of time. Someone may say, I'm crying in front of the deities, but then they go and watch, you know, EastEnders or whatever. Wasting time. How much bhava then? Prabhupada said, when I go to sleep, I feel like now I'm just wasting time. He struggled to go to sleep. We struggle to get up. I have to get up. This is bhava. One doesn't even want to waste one moment of time. Viraktir. This is another internal dimension of love, that one has a complete disinterest in the world. They look out at the window and they think, what is there in this world? There's nothing of value. Nothing. Nothing here. Nothing left on the shopping list. Mana shunyata. What's another internal dimension of bhava? That one is completely prideless. Samutkanta, incredible eagerness, enthusiasm. Nama gane sadaruchi. Rupa Goswami says they're addicted. They're addicted to chanting. Who's addicted to chanting? Like you have Alcoholics Anonymous. Addictions. Chanting Anonymous. Ashaktistad guna kyane, one cannot help but continually chant about the glories of the Lord. They're continuously absorbed in just glorifying Krishna again and again and again and again. This is bhava. Pritistad vasati stale, they have an incredible love for living in Krishna's holy dham. They just want to live in Vrindavan. That's the only desire. So these are the internal dimensions of bhava. So yes, we want to develop spiritual emotion. We have to do it in an appropriate way. And when someone may say, or we feel spiritual emotion is coming, we should also check, do we have the internal adhikar also? Because there is a whole internal dimension to it. It's not just an external show. So this is our hope and prayer that one day we'll be able to experience these emotions for Krishna in a very pure way. Indradyumna Maharaj once said in a class, it was very profound, I thought. He said, all the service that we're doing, all the sacrifices that we're making, all the books that we're studying, all the austerities that we're doing, all the yatras that we're going on, everything we do in spiritual life is just so that one day, maybe one day, we'll be able to sit in one corner of the room, chant one name of Krishna, and experience one genuine teardrop fall from our eye in pure love for Krishna. If you come to that point, then you did it. We have to continue doing it. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. That how much is one able to genuinely experience that emotion for Krishna? Because this is not a movement of knowledge. This is not a movement of discipline. That's why Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. Because Uddhava was a jnani bhakta. He knew so much. He was intelligent. He was sharp. He was logical. Uddhava was the disciple of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. I mean, he knew so much. Krishna said, can you do me a favor? Go and send a message to the gopis. What Uddhava maybe didn't realize fully in the beginning was that he thought he was doing a favor for Krishna. But Krishna was doing a favor for him. Because Krishna wanted to send Uddhava to the gopis so he could see what real emotional experience was. So Uddhava went there and his mind was blown. He said, the gopis are my gurus. He said, I'm going to stay here for 6 months. I want to just hear from you. The gopis said, Uddhava, Akrura came to Vrindavan and took Krishna away. Now you've come here to Vrindavan to take our memories of Krishna away. How can we trust you? Uddhava said, no, I must hear from you because your emotions, your incredible absorption in Krishna, I've never seen anything like it. So this is a movement for that. So we're praying that one day we can genuinely do it. Not in a cheap way, not in an artificial way, not in a sahajya way, but yes, in a way where we can actually feel some emotional connection with Krishna. That is the devastation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing and has come to give the world. And that is our great fortune. Hare Krishna. So we have like 5 minutes if there are any comments, questions. Yes, Mataji, this mic, if you can.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. I've got a question regarding emotions. Krishna, women have more emotions than men because they have to understand their children. So you talk about spiritual emotions. How can we, when they've got to understand, when children, mothers have given or women have given more emotions than men to understand their children, can you explain or elaborate on that, please?
So Krishna gives everyone a different type of body, and every body has certain benefits and certain costs. Emotions are good because emotions can allow one to be in a more heartfelt exchange with Krishna. Emotions can also be bad because if you get materially engrossed, then it will divert you from spiritual life. It's said that generally men have more analytical intelligence. That can be very good for understanding philosophy. But it can also be a drawback because sometimes their approach in spiritual life can be very mechanical and rigid. Therefore, the point is Krishna has given a body for everyone that's perfect for you to make the next step in your journey in spiritual life. So all we have to do is learn how to use the physical frame, the psychophysical configuration that Krishna has given us in a way that will help me to go towards Krishna. So for ladies, you know, sometimes you see, for example, for ladies, it's not like always, but for ladies, sometimes deity worship is much easier because they have a natural affinity towards dressing and other things like that. For men, it's generally they might, you know, more philosophy, reading, analyzing, studying. So it doesn't matter because that's why Rupa Goswami has given Pancha Anga Bhakti. Naam Kirtan, Bhagavad Shravan, Murti Seva, Dham Vas. You can do any of these things. Worship the deity, read Bhagavatam, associate with Vaishnavas, chant the holy names. So all we have to find is an outlet for whatever psychophysical frame we've been given so that that outlet allows us to connect to Krishna. So someone said something amazing to me once. I found it really profound. They said, in bhakti, your biggest weakness can be your greatest strength. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, because in bhakti, if you have a weakness and that weakness causes you to cry out to Krishna, depend on Krishna, petition Krishna for his mercy, then that weakness becomes your biggest strength. And he said, but beware, because in bhakti, your biggest strength can also become your biggest weakness. Because if you're knowledgeable, if you have ability, if you're good at something, and it means you end up thinking, I'm the controller, I'm the doer, I don't need anyone, then it takes you away from Krishna. If you develop pride, it takes you away from Krishna. So even if we have weaknesses, it can become our greatest strength if it takes us to Krishna. So all these things can be used for Krishna, even our emotions.
Thank you so much for your class, Prabhu. I have a question in regards to individuals who, you know, come into contact with spiritual knowledge and, you know, take to the practice, and for some reason or another, they feel like in order for them to appreciate it more, they would probably need to go back out there and kind of like see, you know, and deal with like, as you, because you mentioned about having to deal with our material emotions. So we find individuals who, you know, kind of withdraw themselves back from association or from devotional service to kind of, you know, sort themselves out in that sense. How can we understand this, and what's the best thing that you know, they can do in order for them to actually, you know, be fully situated in devotional service?
Like, to deal with our material emotions, we can do it within the scope of bhakti. There's enough emotional outlets within the process of bhakti to allow you to redirect whatever emotional things you have in a way that will spiritually connect you. Some people are very emotional, like they need relationship. Some of us are like that, not me. Like, some of us need to like talk to people a lot. I'm probably like on the other extreme. But you know, you meet people like that, they like need to talk. We need to talk a lot. That's okay. Talk to Vaishnavas, talk Krishna Katha, to have that exchange. So we all have different emotional things that we have to deal with. But the beauty of bhakti, the beauty of Mahaprabhu's mission, and really the beauty of what Srila Prabhupada gave in the form of ISKCON, is that there are enough emotional outlets within the scope of the movement that can help you deal with things. Now, that's not to say if someone has a serious emotional imbalance. In the world we're living in today, mental health problems are there. So someone may have depression or other things. So that's not to say that someone cannot necessarily utilize some therapy or some material techniques to help. Maybe. But ultimate solution is going to come from a transformation of consciousness that's only done when we connect to the process of bhakti. So in bhakti, we're ultimately, yeah, we're changing on a deeper level. But that's not to say that sometimes some material things to deal with our emotions may be useful. But they're not an ultimate solution. They're not an ultimate solution. Who's more important, the nurse or the doctor? The doctor? If you're on the NHS, by the time the doctor comes, you might be dead. If there ain't no nurses. Isn't it? The nurses make sure you're alive, like on a day-to-day basis. Otherwise, you know, ain't no work for the doctor to do. At the same time, if a hospital is only full of nurses, it's fine, you'll survive, but you'll live your whole life in Watford General. You'll never get out. So in life, we're using sometimes material techniques, which are like nurses. They're helping us just to like, okay, just like, be a little bit peaceful. But the ultimate doctor is the spiritual process, which tells you how to get to the root of the problem and get out. So sometimes we need both to be realistic. But if one is very elevated, actually just through spiritual life you can get everything you need. But then it requires a certain absorption. We just have, it's not 9 o'clock yet, if we can just have a few minutes, Vrindavan Chandrapur is just going to make an announcement. So if we request everyone, please come, Prabhu. Oh, you want to ask a question? But that's eating into your time. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for this wonderful class. My question is, if we look at Srila Prabhupada and our predecessor acharyas, we see in their lives, whenever spiritual emotions were coming forth, they always stifled it. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, if he was on feeling some emotion, he would just say, chant Hare Krishna, and he would suppress it. And even if we look up to the Goswamis, although they were such elevated devotees experiencing so much of the essence of bhakti, they didn't want to show the emotions. And I've recently read an article from one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, who was a bit critical of ISKCON, that we try too much to suppress our emotions and And even within ISKCON, if devotees do try to, we see some tendency to show some emotions, then they get labeled as sahajya. So I'd just like you to comment on that, Prabhu, please.
Thank you. Very nice question. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said, Premera svabhava yaha premera samband se mane krishna morana hi prema gand. Premera svabhav, the very nature of prema. Yaha premera samband, when one actually has prema for Krishna, se mane, that person who has prema for Krishna, se mane, they think, nahi prema gand, I don't even have 1 ounce of love for Krishna. This is the very svabhava of prema that one thinks, I don't even have 1 ounce of love for Krishna. So what we see is that the Vaishnavas are not wanting to display their emotions, because along with their prema is coming dainya, an incredible humility. And they don't want to draw attention to themselves. They don't want to cheapen anything, and therefore they are not exhibiting. But I would say that it's not that the acharyas don't want to experience. They may not exhibit, but they definitely desire to experience, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Kabe habe bolo sei din amar, aparada guchi, shudhanama ruchi. When will I get the ruchi? When will I get the experience of 1 drop of happiness in ecstasy of the holy name? When will that day be mine? So it's not that the acharyas don't want to experience. We all want to experience. We want to experience a heartfelt exchange with Krishna. But at the same time, we don't want to cheapen it by exhibiting it widely. So I would say that may be just a way to reconcile it. That although the acharyas don't exhibit, it's not that we're not trying to experience. Because Prabhupada was on the morning walk and he said to all the devotees, how do you know Krishna exists? Someone said Shastra, someone said you told us. One devotee said, Prabhupada, because when I chant Krishna's name, I feel Krishna. Prabhupada said, that's the one. We want to feel Krishna. That is bhakti. Otherwise, how can we say so much about bhakti, bhakti, devotion, devotion, but there's no heart? But you're right, that acharyas are very careful in how they express this outpouring of the heart, because there is an acute danger that people can do it cheaply, sentimentally, in a shallow way. And so there is control around it. But we should not go to the other extreme of then saying it's not about emotion. Just do the discipline, do the da-da-da-da-da. No, there must be heart. Therefore, Bhakti Vedanta. Knowledge with devotion.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll just have a short announcement. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Taigo Premanande.